The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today is Saturday, September 11th. Today marks 20 years since terrorists attacked Americans on our home soil, killing nearly 3,000 people at the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. 9/11 triggered two decades of war in the Middle East. But are we any safer now compared to 20 years ago? According to a recent survey by The Washington Post and ABC News, Americans are pretty split in their opinions. About half feel we're more secure now, while 41% say we're more at risk. Today, we're getting the perspective of former U.S. diplomat David Rundell. He represented the United States for 30 years in the Middle East, and he was in Saudi Arabia on September 11th, 2001. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, where we provide all the day's news in 10 minutes. I'm Erica Mandy. It's now time for today's Special Edition Saturday. David Rundell, thank you for coming on the Newsworthy.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So first, let me just ask, do you feel the United States is safer now compared to 20 years ago?
We are safer than we were 20 years ago. There have been no major terrorist attacks in 20 years, and that's really because we made counterterrorism a major priority. We devoted a great deal of resources, both human and financial, into countering terrorism. We became much more alert than we were before. We implemented very strict travel and safety requirements. We implemented new money laundering regulations. We captured and killed a great many terrorists. We eliminated many of their bases in Syria and Iraq and Afghanistan. And I think very importantly, we developed effective counterterrorism partnerships with many foreign intelligence services, including those in Saudi Arabia. So we did make ourselves safer than we were 20 years ago. Now, the second part of my answer was we're less safe than we were 6 weeks ago. That very definitely relates to what has happened in Afghanistan. The fall of Kabul has given the jihadists a big psychological boost. They are very definitely emboldened. I listen to their broadcasts. I read what they have to say. As I told you, I live in the Middle East. They now feel that they have defeated yet another superpower, and this has built up their confidence, and it's helping their recruitment. And this goes not only for, I would say, organized groups, but it also has emboldened the individuals and lone wolves who sometimes, quite often, actually make attacks on their own. The third comment I made was that we would be less secure a year from now. The violent jihadists have not disappeared. These are people who are committed to their cause. They don't share our values. They don't share our view of the future. There will be unexpected and unpredicted results that come out of the fall of Kabul. The point is that it takes time for the terrorists to plan something on the scale of 9/11. They can't do that in 2 weeks. But a year from now, the fact that they now have new recruits, that they now have new bases, that they now have new sources of funding, all of those things could combine to make us in a rather worse situation a year from now.
When you talk about planning a bigger attack, maybe for a year from now, what's the goal of these terrorist groups in attacking America?
One is that they like theater and they want to get attention to their cause. Some of them just generally dislike the U.S. and to be honest, they want to damage us. They want to drive us out of the Middle East. If you look at their ideology, they view our presence in the Middle East as offensive to them and their religion, and therefore their goal would be to put enough pressure on us to make us leave. In the case of 9/11, they specifically wanted to break the relationship between Saudi Arabia and the United States. So the fact that they picked these 15 of the 19 hijackers were Saudis was not an accident. They had lots of people they could have picked from Jordan or Yemen or Algeria or Tunisia or Syria. And none of the people that were really leading the attack were Saudis. The Saudis were, if you will, the muscle, the thugs, if you will. The people that flew the plane were Egyptians and others. But I think that in the last 20 years, the Saudis and the United States have actually built a very close cooperation on counterterrorism.
Well, speaking of Saudi Arabia, I want to ask you about some classified 9/11 documents that previous presidents have refused to release. There have been a lot of questions about them. Some people have even wondered whether they show the Saudi government was somehow involved in the 9/11 attack. And just recently, President Biden called for the documents to go ahead and be declassified in the coming months. So what is your take on all of this?
I don't know what those documents say. I can say that I was in Saudi Arabia on 9/11. I subsequently became the chief of mission in Saudi Arabia. And during all my time in Saudi Arabia, I never read any document that implicated the government of Saudi Arabia in the 9/11 attacks. When some of these documents were not being released, the Saudis actually asked that it be released because they said, look, we have nothing to hide. We would like to be cleared.
Coming up, which group poses the biggest threat to the United States now? David Rundell is weighing in. Plus, what he hopes people remember today as they reflect on the 9/11 attacks 20 years later. But first, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Have you thought about your mental health as much as your physical health? I think they're equally important. When anything, even temporarily, might be interfering with our happiness, why not address it? There may even be things you don't realize are getting in your way. So big or small, BetterHelp wants to help. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist to help you figure out what's going on. I love that you can message your therapist anytime. And of course, you can set up phone or video calls to really get the full benefit of BetterHelp. They have counselors who are specialized in stress, anxiety, grief, relationships, and more. And if you're ever not happy with yours, just change counselors anytime until you find the right fit. And you can always connect in a private online environment. I want you to start living a happier life today. And as a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/newsworthy. Again, that's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, betterhelp.com/newsworthy. This episode is also brought to you by Ritual. Do you think you're getting all the nutrients you need in your diet? Research shows probably not. That's why I love knowing I'm supporting my health by taking Ritual vitamins every day, which, by the way, have research to back them up. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin, for example, was formulated by exhaustive research to help fill nutrient gaps in the diets of women ages 18 plus. And Ritual has a vitamin specifically designed for everyone, women, pregnant women, men, and even kids. I trust Ritual enough that I've been taking their vitamins so long that I've needed three different versions of it. I've taken the women's multivitamin, the prenatal vitamin, and now the postnatal vitamin. I love that I can trust the traceable, non-GMO, vegan-friendly ingredients as well. So whichever Ritual vitamin is right for you, try it. Because Ritual is offering the Newsworthy listeners 10% off your first 3 months. Just visit ritual.com/newsworthy and turn healthy habits into a ritual. That's 10% off at ritual.com/newsworthy. Okay, now back to my conversation with David Rundell. What terror group do you think is the biggest threat to America right now?
I think the Taliban. I don't think the Taliban have really changed their stripes, and I think that they're now emboldened, and I think that they will either export their revolution themselves, allow others to do it from their base. We have degraded ISIS and we have degraded Al-Qaeda quite a bit. It will take them time to regroup. When I said we were better off than we were 20 years ago, that's because of a lot of hard work to degrade these groups.
Can you remind us what the 9/11 Commission found in its report?
It found many reasons why we had been taken by surprise. Mostly it dealt with internal bureaucratic procedures about what information we knew, who shared what information with whom, why action wasn't taken sooner. So it was mostly a sort of postmortem on our own activities. The main takeaway was that we as a U.S. government needed to pay a lot more attention to wake up and realize that we had to devote time and energy and resources to confronting a global jihadist movement that was a lot more organized, a lot more sophisticated than we had really thought.
What do you hope that people listening remember today 20 years after 9/11?
I think that if I left the people listening to this with one thought, it would be that the Islamic world is not made up of terrorists any more than the United States is made up of cowboys. We think that everyone in the Middle East is either a terrorist, and they think that everyone in the West rides around like the Marlboro Man. These stereotypes are inaccurate, non-helpful. So what I would like people to remember on 9/11 is that the jihadists are a violent but small group of people in the Arab and Islamic world who really do not represent the majority of the population, who don't support what they did. And I think that's very evident by how many people were trying to get out of Kabul. And it was very clear in Saudi Arabia when Al-Qaeda had a campaign against the government there, and people from the far left and the far right supported the government of Saudi Arabia against Al-Qaeda because they didn't want anything to do with a country that was run by people like ISIS or the Taliban or Al-Qaeda. So I think that that's one thing that I would like people to focus on today, is that this is a struggle that the people in the Middle East are fighting against these terrorist groups just as much as we are, and that we have a shared goal there in defeating these people.
Thanks again to former diplomat David Rundell for sharing his insights and expertise. He's also the author of the book Vision or Mirage, Saudi Arabia at the Crossroads. All right, that's it for today. Be sure to tune in Monday through Friday for our 10-minute news roundups. For now, have a great weekend.